are listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM and 96.9 FM, Hopewell, Virginia. Here are your hosts, Wally, Ray, and Will.
All Skins Everything with Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Ray and Wally, we are hosts. Will T is out tonight. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Search All Skins Everything. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Philadelphia Eagles 32-27. It's Cowboys week. We'll preview the Skins-Cowboys game. Finally, we'll get Dallas Cowboys information from the homie, Mike Harge, co-host of The Bottom Line on iHeart AM 1300. But first, the Skins fell to the Eagles 32-27. Your game thoughts?
Well, we posed a question. I know we're going to go to it later on Facebook in reference to whose fault it was, basically. And, of course, the consensus has been the coaches.
Yeah, it has been.
All it took for me personally, as a guy that analyzes the team, and I'm somewhat of a fan of the Redskins, is
one
regular season game to really evaluate the talent.
Yeah.
This team on both sides of the football has the talent to win football games this year and to make a run in the playoffs. I'm serious when I say that. You can win the division. The Cowboys are expected to, but the Cowboys or the Eagles.
Or the Eagles, definitely.
The Cowboys, based on what I've seen, they're not much better than the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, you had the Eagles. You were up on the Eagles. You showed in their house that you can compete with this team. Jonathan Allen going down hurt.
Yeah.
So you have the opportunity to do something this season. It comes down to coaching, especially the D coordinator.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we look at the defense, and I said this in the preseason, and we talked about it too on prior shows, Ray, that, you know, this team has the talent to do well defensively, but it's going to be all predicated on what Minuski does schematically with this team. They got no pressure against the Eagles' offensive line. Eagles' offensive line is one of the better offensive lines of football, but they didn't try to manufacture pressure when Allen went down. So, you know, like you said, Allen is important. So you lost one of your horses, who I believe Allen last season had about eight sacks. That you're missing those eight sacks in this game against the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy who's capable of getting eight sacks, in the game against the Eagles. Why not find a way to create pressure?
Bro, we talked about this off air. It also hurt the run game, the run defense.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, the Eagles obviously
gashed them.
They were able to run the football and they controlled the time of possession, which hurt because your offense had limited opportunities, and then you had a couple three and outs. You had the missed bomb to McLaurin.
Yeah, to McLaurin.
And you had the drop on the next play
to Paul Richardson. Paul Richardson,
If you can't sustain drives and your opponent is running the football, that hurts you. But as I was watching his defense, I said, man, Greg Williams was on the market and you did not get him.
Yeah.
A guy who's familiar with your franchise.
They tried, though. They tried. Mm-hmm.
So what went wrong? That's what I need to know.
And Greg, when he picked the Jets. They tried Greg. They tried Ty Bolt.
They tried. So they even extended the offer.
Yeah, they tried.
With maybe the same amount or even probably more money. He's like, nah, I'm not messing with
them. I'm not sure in terms of what the offer was or if they did offer him. But from what I've heard, they tried. They reached out to Greg Williams. They reached out to Ty Bolt.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on Greg Williams. But like you said, you're not getting any pressure. And I talked to you about that all offseason. I said it last week. And there was somebody who reached out to our show and said, well, we got Kerrigan, and Kerrigan's is all we need up front to get the pressure. But it's so much bigger than that.
Oh, it's so much bigger.
Schematically, as you saw, guys were in position, but they got beat deep because there was no pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah.
There was the first bomb to Deshaun Jackson where Carson Wentz got rid of that ball quickly.
Yeah.
But from that point on, he didn't get touched, and he was comfortable. And then he got Zach Ertz going. Mm. Zach Ertz, in the first half, he's non-existent. It's like, this is what you want.
He got yardage. I call that garbage yardage at the end, because I feel like the game was already over once the Eagles imposed their will. It was almost to the point where you watched the movie, The Great White Hype.
Yeah.
All right. So when Roper got punched, when Cuz punched Roper, Roper was like, oh, what the F are you doing? And then it woke Roper up, and then all of a sudden Roper just, you know, knocked him out. I felt like that's what happened. The Skins went up 17-0. The Eagles are like, what? Like, what's going on? They hit the bomb. I think the bomb to D-Jax, like, set it off. Because when you meant, you said it was, they, you know, it was he got the ball out quick. I actually differ. I think that.
On the first one?
Yeah, I thought he had too much time. It was third and 10. You didn't bring any pressure. You let Carson Wentz maneuver in the pocket. Had too much time, and he found D-Jax. My issue is, like, you know who you have. You know you had D-Jax. You already know what D-Jax is all about. You give Carson Wentz, a very good quarterback, time in the pocket, and you got DeSean Jackson, who has an opportunity to be, I don't care what cornerback it is. I don't care if it's Josh Norman. I don't care if it's Patrick Peterson. You give a guy like that much time, and you get DeSean Jackson that much time to run down the field, he's going to get open. And so you should have game planned better for DeSean. Like, you should got to bring pressure when you're dealing with those two entities and Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson.
Okay, so on the flip side, you build a 17-point lead on the road.
Yeah.
But Adrian Peterson is in street clothes. This is when you want to run the football. This
oh,
is when
you agreed, want to start bro.
To yeah. manage the clock better. And this has been one of Jay Gruden's Achilles heels since he's been here, is clock management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do like the fact that in ways they stayed aggressive, but you could not run the ball. This is not a game where you expect Darius Geis to have his breakout game.
Yeah.
This is essentially his rookie season.
Yeah.
So the offensive line, which doesn't have Trent Williams,
mm-hmm.
but is relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Did not play in the second half. They didn't play their best game, but the first half they played fine. So if you can establish that run, then you can potentially hold the Eagles off a bit more than what you did, or you can possibly add points, even if it's a field goal, to you. You can pad that lead, and then you can potentially steal a game in your division on the road week one. But instead, you chose to rely on a guy who is coming off a major injury, who is a rookie, who has more learning to do,
mm-hmm.
With an offensive line that
is lacking their leader.
Mm-hmm. And their best player, their only Pro Bowler.
Brandon Scherff made it 1 year.
Last season, did he make it? I thought Trent was the only Pro Bowl.
No, you're talking about after me in general. Oh, you're talking about from last year. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So,
yeah.
It was a setup for failure, in my opinion. And to me, that's what made the difference from an offensive standpoint. And again, that goes back to coaching. So, offense and defense, your head coach and your D coordinator, they have to be the ones that the blame is placed primarily on. You know, because I was looking at the assignments. We agreed off air that Monte Nicholson blew one assignment.
One assignment, really.
And that was it, the whole game. The tackling was decent.
In the first half.
In the second half, it wasn't. But again, I think they started to kind of give up.
They got tired. I think the Eagles, and I agree. I think once it got to a point, DeSean Jackson hit him with another bomb. I think once the Eagles took the lead, they already felt like, oh, snap. We're about to lose this. Once he hit that second bomb to take the lead, it was like, oh, snap, we're about to lose this.
So now you have to learn from that because, again, you don't want to go down 0-2 in your division moving on this week. But if there's anything you can take from this game is you need to dial up more pressure.
Yeah.
And you need to run the ball more effectively.
Yeah.
The same stuff we've been talking about. Also, you look at the tape. There are some missed opportunities on the field.
Yeah.
But you also have to recognize the positive aspects of this game, which obviously Terry McLaurin is a big one because he provides that deep threat that is lacked.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of a decade, I swear, outside of DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
You didn't like Trey Quinn. I felt like he was decent. I was impressed also with Keenum.
I think he played a solid game.
Mm-hmm. A game that you very well could have won. I was about to say should have, but that's a stretch
that's
because
a stretch,
you're on the
yeah.
road
yeah.
and you're playing against a strong Philly team.
Keenum, for most Redskins fans, if you're really being honest, surprised so many people. People thought Keenum may have struggled against the Eagles initially before the game. But once he played at such a high level, especially in the first half, I mean, you came up thinking, you know what? He's capable. And to me, it shouldn't be any big surprise. When we look at Jay, we make as much as we bash Jay, me included. At the same time, when he deals with quarterbacks that can run a system, who are more passing oriented quarterbacks, they put up numbers in his system. You saw with Colt McCoy, who was a journeyman backup. You saw with Kirk Cousins, quarterbacks under Jay put up numbers.
The dope part about not being a Redskins fan is I can look at this team and say, wow, this team has potential to be good in the short term and long term. You have a pretty good stud receiver. You have a quarterback who's waiting in the wings. The Bama wall on defense. You have a young nucleus. You do. You have a young nucleus that you can build around on both sides of the football. It's like, dang. But, of course, our fan base, or this fan base in this area, is starving for a winner in this football team, which they haven't gotten that since 2012.
Really. All right. So, posed this question on Facebook, Twitter, and Facebook and Twitter, and you can also call us at 301-799-5407. What or who was to blame for the Skins' second half collapse? The coaches, the players, or the Eagles? On Facebook, Josh Kirby posted, coaching, there were absolutely no adjustments made during halftime. There needs to be accountability on Jay Gruden's part.
Gary Taylor simply said, coaches, no question. I totally agree. The players did their job. They were in position. You got to put your players in a better position to win.
Reggie McCall posted, just Mr. Jackson. He did the damage. Yeah, he did some serious damage. We talked about that.
You know what? But I don't think it was any personal vendetta. That's what
oh,
he
no,
does.
No, no, no.
He balls.
He balls.
He I don't did think this week
personal.
One with Tampa last season.
Yeah, he doesn't. No, it's nothing personal. You just got D-Jacks. That's what it is.
You can't be mad at that. Mm-hmm. Sean Garner posted the Eagles. Come on now. That's generalizing. Yeah. And it's not 100% accurate because – as a team, they could have played better, to be real.
Who, the Eagles?
Yeah
they could have played better in the first half. Sex, Travel, Sports, Food Podcast. That's my man Cornelius posted. Same thing every season, every game. Gruden and the coaching staff do not make adjustments well. The opposition figures the Skins out, adjust, and beat that ass. Shaking my head. It's the MO of Jay's coaching regime, predictable outcome. I don't argue with that. I think Jay has a trend. There is a trend. You know, teams can adjust to whatever Jay's doing via on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball with Minuski. Teams get used to it. They adjust. This coaching staff tends to not adjust.
Why is that? That's what I want to know. Like, who could he consult to become a better, game manager, so to speak?
I think he's just, some coaches are stubborn and they just believe in their program, believe in what they do.
Jim Zorn.
Yeah. And
takes you back to the
And also star. I think Skins fans here are spoiled. Either you watched it or you just heard about it from your parents or whatever.
Joe Gibbs,
You hear about how you'll hear that, Joe Gibbs made great halftime adjustments. You know, that used to be his thing. Joe Gibbs, this team would be totally different in the second half. So either you saw it with Joe, you saw it as, visually saw it growing up watching the Skins, or you heard it from your parents. So a lot of people can kind of harp on that. There are a lot of
the Eagles had to adjust.
They had to, though. And you saw into the urban sports scene. Ray, you mentioned it anyway, but when you heard news about AP not playing Sunday morning, what were your thoughts, though?
My initial thoughts were, wow, Jay Gruden really used him as a one-year rental. That's just what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My draft, my first-round draft pick was second round. Geis was first or second-round pick?
Second round.
He was an early-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. I'll say that much. He's injured. I need somebody who can step in. Who better than a proven all-pro running back, historical running back, future Hall of Famer than Adrian Peterson. He served us well in that 1 year, but I'm ready to move on. That was what initially went across my mind. You know what? I do have respect for Geis. I think he's very talented. I love the way he worked so hard to come back.
Me too.
Adrian Peterson has been mentoring him, which is great.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help him down the road, both in the sense of a recovery standpoint as well as just being a good back, seeing the field, reading defenses. But as I mentioned, was this the right move for Geis himself? As far as Adrian Peterson goes, it's messed up, but I was watching Undisputed earlier, sorry to mention it, but Shannon Sharpe, who made a great point, he said Adrian Peterson right now, his financial situation with just where he is in his career and in his life, he has no choice but
to take it.
To live with it. And it sucks.
It sucks, but it's the truth though. But unfortunately, like Shannon Sharpe is kind of like biased though at the same time though, because he's the same dude that said that Adrian Peterson wouldn't be successful last season. And he was trying to carry that mantle for a while until he had to admit that AP did better than what he thought. I'm just saying, like, Shannon Sharpe's that's a different beast. Because he really argued that point, too.
Well, you know what? You were, like, one of the only people that said first of all, you lobbied for him to be brought in. And then
no, I get
it happened. Like, it seemed like it happened the next day, and you were saying, okay, he's going to be successful. And I said, you have to wait and see. We don't know.
Yeah.
He's older. He's obviously not the guy he was, let's say, his rookie when he ran all over the Bears week one. But he's better than everything that they had last season.
Yeah. I'm not saying – no, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying that some people, like, if he's balling, you would admit, right? Like, you would say, like,
Of course.
It would take you forever to admit to it. That's my point. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. But I just felt like when I heard the news, I was like, what is Jay doing? Is Jay trying to get fired? Like, just because, like, you got a kid that is just coming off an injury – you know, this is going to be his first full season.
Exactly.
He's, you know, and you got Adrian Peterson. Like you mentioned, right, he had 1,000 yards last year with a decimated O-line. And basically, this team relied on him. You can't have – and you want to put all the pressure on this young dude, knowing you got this beast over here that had did damage for you last season against the Eagles.
What was your thoughts about the whole special teams?
I thought it was BS. Oh. I'm going to tell you why I thought it was BS, because – Robert Davis Jr. was a guy who played well on special teams, like played very well on special teams in preseason. When Jordan Reed was announced as, you know, as a guy who wasn't going to play on Sunday against the Eagles, they cut Robert Davis Jr. and put J.P. Holtz to play tight end, you know, just a third string tight end. If special teams was that important, and a guy in preseason who was an excellent gunner, was a guy that, you know, recovered 2 fumbles in the preseason. If it was that important, you wouldn't have cut him. If teams was that important to you, you wouldn't cut him.
Well, that's why I asked, because everyone that I've seen discuss this topic has said the same thing, basically. Like, that was just a cover-up for Jay not really wanting Adrian Peterson on the team no more, on the roster.
That's what I feel. I feel like he didn't.
He had to find a reason.
Yeah.
I will say it sounded like he did communicate this effectively, though, to AP.
Oh, sure. I think so, too. You have to, though. You have to. You have to do something. You can't just put that out the blue. You have to communicate that with AP, because it could have been much nastier. And now look at Geis. Now Geis is hurt. Reports that he hurt his MCL and he could miss a game or maybe four weeks.
Well, I can't necessarily say that's Jay's fault, because injuries happen. That's part of the game. It could have happened whether AP played or not. There's the question of, did he receive too much work too fast?
Yeah.
And I agree with that point, but he could have got injured at any point. This is where you got to trust your medical staff, and that's where some question marks have.
Exactly, bro. That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
This is probably why Trent Williams isn't there, from what we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of questions. The coaches are the ones at this point that need to be held accountable, because, again, they're the ones that are putting together game plans. They're the ones that are supposed to be putting these players in position to win. And they've had ample time and opportunities to be able to do so. They are, I'm telling you, man, I don't think they're going to survive. If you lose this week, bro, you might see a complete overhaul very quickly.
Very quickly.
And I'm a Jay guy to some degree, because I felt as though he was one of those guys that he's a player's coach, so to speak. You know, he would go to bat for his guys, those who he likes. I like that about him, but as you mentioned earlier, he's stubborn, and that's going to be his downfall probably. But he has the talent to get this thing turned around, which is great.
It's Skins Cowboys week. We'll preview the game after the break. You listen to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces. You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Your host are Will, excuse me, your host is Ray GC, and myself, Wally. Will T is out. All right, the Skins have a hot Cowboys team coming to FedEx.
Hot,
man. You see what they did to the Giants. What are the keys for a Skins victory?
Well, let's start with the obvious. One is, you got to dress Adrian Peterson.
I think he will be playing.
That's going to be critical.
Yeah, it seems like he will be playing.
Number two, you want to make sure you address your pass rushing situation, because Dak Prescott is a mobile quarterback. Yeah. He's one that he gains confidence the more he's completing passes. And that's what you don't want. You don't want his confidence to be high. Because if so, he's going to look like Randall out there. He's going to be making plays with his legs, passing on the run, and from the pocket. And as we saw last season, I believe it was Thanksgiving, you get Amari Cooper going. Oh, it's going to be a long
one. Oh, yeah, Amari.
And this year, again, the tackling appears to be better.
Yeah.
But you also you appear to be stronger with Jimmy Moreland as part of that defensive backfield. I'm thinking that you get pressure early, you get a few sacks, you stuff Zeke. I think you got a chance.
Yeah, you got to put it. You got to stuff Zeke. You got to put it all on Dak's shoulders. But like Ray said, though, you
got to
put pressure on Dak.
Got to.
And then also, you got to play a ball control game. I know that, you know, that was my game plan to beat the Eagles. But you got to have a ball control game. You got to try to establish Adrian Peterson. It's essential for Adrian Peterson to show out, though. You know, it's okay to say, yeah, you need to give Adrian Peterson the ball, but he has to produce with it. So, you know, it's essential for Adrian Peterson himself to play well for this team to win. Chris Thompson has to be utilized. It seems like it's a chance that Jordan Reed will be back because they did cut J.P. Holt. So, and that indicates to me that they like the way Reed is progressing. So, if they can have a healthy Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson, and also Adrian Peterson, right? We've all mentioned Terry McLaurin as a guy that looks like he can be a guy that can stretch the field. That will allow Adrian Peterson to have running lanes too at the same time. So, you know, they're going to have to me, hold the football, win the time of possession, bring pressure, got to blitz. You got to blitz Dak. You can't let Dak be comfortable in the pocket. If they can do that, they have a good chance to win this game. They don't have this team doesn't have Carson Wentz, and they don't have Deshaun Jackson. As good as I love Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is great, but that combination of Amari Cooper and Dak isn't Deshaun Jackson and Carson Wentz.
With that being said, you have to get off the field on third down.
Yeah, they did a terrible job with that.
You have to get off the field on third down. If you do not, the Cowboys will sustain drives. And to me, this is just my observation of watching the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't a team that's going to beat you deep.
They're not. They're not that type of team.
But if you let them dink and dunk you, get 15 yards, mm-hmm. 10 there, 8 there, they're going to march right downfield on you. But if you get off the field on third down, you give your chances. You give yourself an opportunity and a chance to win the game. Again, I expect Case Keenum to play well. I think he's going to be solid all season. I really do. Because of his experience. And also because of his ability to read defenses, get the ball out quickly. The offensive line, I'm hoping that they can hold up, keep him upright at least through three quarters. One thing that you're going to have to do as a team is you're going to have to play four quarters. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to make sure you tighten up all phases, including special teams. You don't want to get the Cowboys good field position, again, because of the style that they play. But your offensive line, you can hold up for most of the game in terms of pass protection. You give yourself an opportunity to at home, your season opener at home, to win against another division rival. You don't want to go down 0-2 in division.
You don't.
That's the last thing I want to point out is a sense of urgency. And again, that starts with the coaching staff. Jay Gruden sometimes seems to not be able to motivate his guys, and that drives me nuts, especially in these big games.
It's all about motivating.
Who is your leader? Who is your leader right now?
Got to show emotion, man.
Josh Norman used to be that guy, but since he has not produced the same way, I feel like
he's never been a leader to me, like a leader.
Emotional leader. That's what I'm saying. He can get you hype.
But like a leader. Guy like Jonathan Allen,
when he was doing the tomahawk, doing the throw slash, that's what I'm talking about.
Like Jonathan Allen's like more of a leader to me, like a guy that people play for. They play for Jonathan Allen.
See, Swearinger was the leader, but now he's gone.
People like they really respond to Jonathan Allen. Real talk though, they really respond to Jonathan Allen, but he's not going to play, so it's harder. He's not going to play.
Okay, now can Jonathan Allen motivate both sides of the ball? To me, that's something Josh Norman can do.
He can't motivate the offense. He motivated the defense. He never motivated the offense.
Okay, so what we're talking about now is there is no established leader. Jay has to be that guy to get his guys ready.
Well, I mean, just like football, like usually there's always one dude handles one side of the ball and another dude handles the other side of the ball. It's never like that defensive player motivates the offensive side or the offensive player motivates the defensive side. Unless you got a dude like, I'm gonna be real with you. Like when Griffin was here, right? he excited both sides, so both of them play hard.
Drew Brees does.
Yeah, but that's a. He think he slices the defense, or you think he's the one? Absolutely. Think he's the reason?
Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Because
I think
they know they got.
He's a baller though. That's a baller. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but that's a you are the quarterback. You got excited even Andrew Luck. Not because he's a rah rah guy, but it's because Andrew Luck. You got that guy. He gonna get you hyped. You gonna believe that you can win. So it's just different. But you're talking about like an emotional, you know what I mean? Like you're talking about.
Tom Brady does it for his defense too.
Because he's Tom Brady. That's my point.
Mahomes can do it
for he's Pat Mahomes. You get my point?
You're making your point because you said who can do both sides?
No, my point is that you unless you got that dude as a player, like that dude is a franchise. You're naming quarterbacks. Quarterbacks do that for everybody.
All right, well, that's my point. Then it relies on your coaches.
Yeah.
Like I'm an Atlanta fan. Dan Quinn, he motivates the guys. I'm not saying it always works.
But no, Dan Quinn is an aggressive dude. He does motivate.
Uh-huh. Pete Carroll too. Come on, man.
Pete Carroll. No. Pete Carroll's like
that. That means you agree.
I agree. About. Pete Carroll joke is real. Like I ain't gonna lie. Pete Carroll is real because he motivates. It ain't even a Russ thing. Because we all saw how
the other group,
how Russ didn't motivate like Sherman. And they were like carrying Russ back in the day. Pete Carroll motivates that squad. I'll give you that. Even you could say Richard Sherman, like Richard Sherman and that whole Legion of Boom squad. That whole Legion of Boom squad kind of motivated the offense too. But Marshawn too, though. Marshawn did both. They were hand in hand.
You're making my point.
No, not really. We're both making each other's point though. Real talk though. But it's all good.
The team needs to find an established leader, somebody who to motivate. Because if you do not come out with a sense of urgency in your home opener, I mean, last season was so bad. Josh Norman comes out and says, "I'd rather play away from home."
It's the truth, though. That's the truth.
No,
though.
It wasn't the truth. You have to give the fans a reason to cheer. That's why they did not show up.
They played better in the road, man. I'm a player dude anyway. I'm always for the players, man. Fans are like kind of iffy at times. I'm consistent though. I've always been that way.
Oh my God.
I've always been that way.
This is bad. I don't like the karma. I've already sent Hakeem my picks. I picked the Redskins to win.
I did too. Dude, I didn't send Hakeem my picks, but I didn't pick the Redskins.
Except mine are set in stone already. So yeah. No, I could change it though, but if I wanted to.
Yeah, anyway, you could though. You ain't gonna stop me from changing it.
The point is, dude, right now I'm concerned if there's no established leader, there's nobody who can motivate guys to come out with a sense of urgency in a key pivotal divisional matchup and your season opener at home, dude. It worries me.
Man, all right, real quick before we go to break. Do you feel like FedEx will be mobbed by Cowboy fans?
Yes.
You think it'll be majority Cowboy fans?
This is an area where it's all about getting your money. They will sell their tickets quickly. Black and yellow Pittsburgh, green and yellow Green Bay. It turns into another field when certain teams come to town, and Dallas just happens to be one of them. However, if you come out with the right energy and you give your home fans a reason to cheer, they will drown out those Dallas fans. Trust me, I've lived it.
Check out
Calvin
early.
Hill will be in the building. He's going to be in the press box with you, brother. What you going to do? You going to suck up to him or you going to go at him?
Suck up to Calvin Hill?
Oh, yeah. I met Calvin Hill. That's what you said the first time you covered a race.
Yeah, but I didn't suck up no Calvin Hill. I said
Calvin
I met him.
Shaw, all these guys.
I said I met them. I ain't say I sucked. I ain't suck up to him.
It's a joke, bro.
I know, man. Go ahead, man. You know what? Go ahead. I got Craig.
I've covered a race in the Dallas game. You never come out like, yeah, all right. So I don't care who I see. It's all about, you know, watching these guys get a divisional win, though, against a rival.
Dude.
That this rivalry is actually being renewed because there's been some tight games over the years. And you beating Dak at home.
I know, but I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. It's a must-win, though, bro. We'll be talking with the enemy, but he's a friend. Mike Harge from Bottom Line on iHeart AM 1300 will join us after the break. You listen to All Skins, everything what the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
It's a beautiful day to get some money, and every day is another opportunity to touch the paper. So I pray you want to see a young man shine. If not, put your head in the hole, I'm going to put a hole in your head, you know? What? Tell me what you want to do. 20 billboards in the city, who the f*** is you? I look a little familiar, huh? Look at you, look at it, look at it. Yo, tell me right now what you want to do. 20 billboards in the city, who the f*** is you? I DM all of you.
You listen to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports saying on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 99 FM and 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia. Hosts are Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. I was about to say Will T, but I kind of had to correct myself. Will T's out. Right now, we have the homie Mike Harge, co-host of The Bottom Line on iHeartRadio 1300 AM, up and based out of Austin, Texas. What's going on, Mike?
What's going down?
Nothing much, my man. You know, we chilling out here, man. You know, it's Redskin Cowboys week, so obviously, you know, we going to be beefing right now, initially.
Oh, yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
Hey, Mike, I know everybody's excited about Cowboy football. Zeke just got paid, but, hey, Saquon came to Dallas and looked like he going to break the bank when it's time to renew his contract, man.
Oh, well, hey, Saquon deserves it. I mean, everybody's looking at him like, he's the next best thing, and he should be the next best thing. But, you know, Zeke just getting warmed up, and I think he's going to hit his stride when it comes time to come out there to watch
it. And watch it. I know. Hey,
yeah, you already know.
I know. I heard Zeke gained a little weight, though, man. I heard that crop top, you know, got a little gut with it, though. That's what I heard.
Hey, man. I used to give him a hard time talking about he looked like a little Ewok the way he was walking around, but... But hey, he's my Ewok, if you know what I mean.
I know
you
what you mean, bro.
Cowboy Nation, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying,
it's
man.
A Mexican food, baby.
So, Mike, what's going on with Dak's contract, man? You know, he's throwing up 400 yard games. Is that about to go down?
Oh yeah, you know, Jerry keeps saying it's imminent that it's going to happen here sooner than later, but. You know, the thing about it is, and I got to give much respect to the way that Dak has handled this entire situation. I mean, if anybody would be able to hold out or to cry or whatever it would be to get his way, it would be Dak. Because, I mean, you look at the Cowboys and what they've become since he's been there. My man has been consistent. He's towed the line. I mean, he jumped out. He was one of the first ones to jump out with Jerry to be able to say, you know, I'm going to stand there and do the national anthem because that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, he went through a lot of controversy, but through it all, he's continued to navigate this Dallas Cowboy team. And as a Cowboy fan, man, you know, we've had ups and downs, and I know I don't even have to preach that to you guys in Washington because y'all been going through it for a minute, and we'll get into Jay Gruden in a minute. But you sit and you look and you say, all right, man, what has this dude done wrong? You know, we always talk about all the bad things that all the players do, but we never talk about all the good things. Mm-hmm. He's good in the community. He's good in the locker room. The team rallies around him, and now he's actually performing at a high level.
So you just mentioned Jay Gruden. From a Dallas perspective, what are your thoughts on the Redskins coach?
I think it's terrible. I mean, I think he just – I don't understand how with the talent that they've had or the talent that they've let go, why are things so difficult right now? Why is it that he can't find a thing? Like the whole quarterback situation right now. I think Case Keenum is one of the most underrated players out there. People are going to say, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Look at what he did. He took a team in Minnesota to the championship game, and then they let him go. Mm. I mean, what? Because they went for Kirk Cousins, who couldn't get out of the NFC East. Mm. I mean, there's just so many things that you look at that you say, huh? What is that happening? Why is he doing that? And then let's not even talk about the controversy that y'all are going through right now with it. Adrian Peterson.
I was waiting for you because you know you're a Texas boy.
You know,
I was waiting for
you. Hey, man. Look at him. My man went for over 1,000 yards last year. Mm-hmm. At whatever page you want to put him, I don't think he's human half the time because my man is just out there balling, still running hard, still making people miss, still making plays, and yeah, we don't want to have him on there. What are you talking about? You better start using the people that are going to help you win. Because I don't know about you, but he hasn't done anything that showed me that he wants to keep his job in Washington.
Yeah, I kind of think that he doesn't want to keep his job with the whole Adrian Peterson thing. Because, I mean, again, you mentioned it, having 1,000 yards. And you saw when he came, when the first game of the season between the Cowboys and Skins last season, how well he ran against that team, against a good Cowboys defense. And he was probably right. The reason why they beat the Cowboys in D.C. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, this whole Adrian Peterson thing is, for us here, has been very confusing. Put it that way.
Yeah, I can only imagine what's going on there. As this NFC East, you look at the talent and the opportunities that are there, and you still try to figure out, okay, Dallas looked good. Washington was pounding Philadelphia last week, and then all of a sudden give up that lead, and now you're back to, okay, are we doing this again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so wide open, but nobody is jumping out in the front just yet. You know, the Eagles are a preseason favorite to go to the Super Bowl from a lot of pundits out there. Obviously, being a Cowboys fan, I would like to say, yeah, Cowboys are there, but there are still some things that need to be finished and worked out. They looked great the other day, but what are you judging that off of? You know, the Giants, who are pretty much trying to, I don't know what the Giants are even doing. They don't even have the right players in there. They got the wide receivers in protocol. They got Barkley, who's doing his thing but can't do it by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But the East is always one of those ones you never know who's going to win it. It comes all the way down to the end every year.
Bro, so we talked about the Redskins getting pressure on Dak this week as a key to – obviously securing a home win and securing a division win. Dallas already obviously has a division win against the lowly Giants. But do you agree with that, analysis from our perspective, that if you can get pressure on Dak, you have a much better chance to beat the Cowboys?
Well, yes. I would have said that last year. Mm-hmm. I would have said that the year before. Mm-hmm. This year, the problem is, how are you going to get pressure on them? Because last year, Zeke wasn't there. Remember, Zeke missed a bunch of games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's there. He's going to be there for the whole season. And they're running way more play action. And so you know as well as I do, play action holds up the line. They can't get the pressure that they want. And it confuses the linebackers. They're not getting their proper drop. And if you look at last week's game for the Cowboys side of it, once he got set, once he got to the end of his drop, that ball was out of his hand. He wasn't holding on to it like he normally does and running around. He did what he needed to do. I would agree with the thought of getting the pressure on him, but that monster behind him, that Ewok that is trying to get healthy, he is going to be ready to run the football, and you're going to have to feed that man. And this might be a game where they try to feed him a little bit more, and that, too, will slow up the rush.
This is my next question. So how many carries do you expect Zeke to get? He had 13 carries against the Giants. So are we looking at 20, 25 against the Skins?
Yeah, I think he gets up to 20. Mm-hmm. I think he's the 18 to 20 range. It's a long season. He missed a lot of time, but he's going to be able to work his way into it. And plus, again, it's a divisional game, and if you can go up 2-0 in the division, it looks really, really good moving forward.
You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene right now. We are chatting with Mike Harge, co-host of The Bottom Line on iHeartRadio 1300 AM up in Austin, Texas. So are Cowboy fans up there in Texas, are they super hyped for this game? Is it like an old Skins Cowboys rivalry type of thing?
You know, I was thinking about that today, and I was trying to figure out what kind of rivalry this one would be now in the newer age, because everybody's changing teams. You get to look at all this. There's not a true, all right, let's go, we're about to go fight this dude. But now, because of the way that the Cowboys played last week, obviously the Redskins had a great first half. People started taking notice. Like I said, Case Keenum threw for what, 380 this past weekend. So you sit and you look, and they're a dangerous team. Washington is a dangerous team. But I just think this momentum that the Cowboys have right now, from the looks of what they did last week, it's got everybody hyped about every game. And being a divisional game and being the Redskins, of course, people are like, let's do what we can do and get this lead over here.
I think the key for the Cowboys, to be real with you, man, is to get home field advantage in the playoffs. If they can't do that, I can't see them going to where people think they can go. But sorry to tell you this, man, we both picked Washington this week. And I'm not even a Washington fan. I just cover the team.
Y'all both picked Washington to beat the Cowboys?
Yeah, we did. Man, Ray's not even a Skins fan. You know, obviously I'm biased though, so I'm gonna keep it 100. You know, but I did pick the Skins over the Cowboys. Being at home, you know, I think the Cowboys will be feeling themselves. Jason Garrett is still your coach, right?
Redskins defense is much better too.
Jason Garrett is still the coach, right? He's still the coach, right?
Yeah.
So they can't be let down. So I'm very
right, but you know, just like anything else, if the players decide to leave the locker room and everybody is moving on the right direction, anything is possible.
True.
This is the first time. This is the first time I've seen the Dallas Cowboys in a long time have this much depth, this many weapons, and this much juice heading into another game.
He's honest. He was honest last year too. I give Mike is honest. He was honest last year too.
Hey, well, you know, we let your boy Josh Dotson walk. I know you weren't happy about that.
Now you're not. I was wondering who was gonna bring it up first.
Hey, you saw McLaurin, man.
That's the reason why, man. That's the reason why, man. It's McLaurin. That's the reason why.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ohio State kid. You know I'm a Josh Dotson dude too.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask y'all this. I know that a lot has happened during the offseason. You know, Haskins coming in, great pickup, by the way. I think he's going to be an exciting player once he gets his mind right. But what was happening with Colt McCoy? Was he going to be the starter? I know he had a bunch of surgeries this offseason. I know he was trying to make it back. What was the final thing that made it to where Colt wasn't going to be the starter?
Injuries, man. Jay likes Colt a lot. A lot. He likes Colt a lot. And Colt did have the opportunity. He was sharp initially before the injury. He knows the offense. He's very familiar with the offense. Mm-hmm. A lot of people they believe that Case is the better quarterback, though. You know what I mean? So that eventually, you know, people thought that Case would beat him out in preseason. But obviously, since Colt knew the offense, he looked sharper in practice. That's why he was number one on the depth charts early. But as soon as he had some injuries, he struggled. And, Colt's a soldier in this aspect that he knows this is probably his only opportunity to be a starter in the NFL. And he really tried to fight through the injury, and also that led to bad play in camp. And we got to a point. He had like a four interception day in camp. That screwed him. Case had the job, and that's all she wrote. It's Case's job.
Yeah, I spent some time with Colt this offseason. He did a camp here in Austin, Texas, at a high school, and he looked like he was ready, but he also said, man, how many surgeries he had. And I'm like, are you kidding me, man? Goodness gracious. And then he had the thumb injury. It was just, man, what is going on? But, you know, we always pulling for Colt. We thought this was going to be another opportunity for him to kind of lead the Redskins. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that he wasn't playing against the Cowboys because he always seems to find a way to make things happen against the Cowboys, but I'm always pulling for him, so I hope for him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, I hope so too, because he's really, he's down about it, but it is what it is, man. It's tough. It's tough for Cole. I will say.
Well, we always appreciate you coming on, man. This is always great. And if you do a camp with Vince Young, let me know. You can always contact me. I will fly out for that one.
I got you, my brother. I will make sure I let y'all know.
All right, thanks, my man. Thanks, Mike, man. Mike, before I let you go, let our listeners know how they can find you on social media and how they can catch your show.
You can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at HardballHarge, HARDGE, and you can listen to me and my man Chip Brown every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Central Time on AM 1300 The Zone and 103.1 FM The Zone on your iHeartRadio app. So anytime y'all want to listen, we got podcasts up, we got all kinds of First and Ten. We cover Texas Longhorns a lot. We cover Cowboys. We cover Texans. So you can find us all on those social media apps and let us know what's going on.
Oh, man, Mike, thanks again, man. You know I appreciate you, my man.
Always, always. Good luck this weekend, but not too much luck.
All right. Same here, Mike. Same here.
All right, brothers. All right. Y'all be easy.
All right, be easy.
All right.
Bye. Again, that is Mike Harge, co-host of The Bottom Line on iHeartRadio, 1300 AM, up base, Austin, Texas, and The Zone, yeah, part of The Zone.
So, awesome work.
Man, Mike's awesome, man.
All right, well.
Yeah, it's time to, yeah.
Washington wins, that's what we predicted.
That's what we predicted. We predicted the Washington win. We got some intel, though.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Anyway, you've been listening to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. 8 Mega. Lead us out, big homie.